Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Thank you. You tuned in to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Okay. Let's get this going today. We have from the JamaicaObserver.com news, volcanic eruptions hit St. Vincent's ganja farmers hard. Thousands of ganja farmers in the Eastern Caribbean island of St. Vincent and the Grenadines are now piecing together what is left of a once thriving industry following last month's explosive eruption of La Soufrière volcano. Founder of St. Vincent and the Grenadines Cannabis Revival Committee, Junior Cottle, who could not put a finger on the loss suffered by some 3,000 farmers the union represents, said it could be in the millions. He was speaking with last weekend when he stressed that the industry had suffered a devastating blow. It has been particularly devastating for the small traditional cultivars, most of whom do farming in communities in the red zone, which are not very far from the La Soufrière volcano. Cottle, who has farmed ganja for over 50 years in the largely tourism-dependent country, the red zone located in the north of the 345-kilometer-squared Jamaican island, includes areas that experienced maximum damage as a result of the eruption and was the zone in which hazardous events had their greatest influence. It was deemed the area that would have had destruction from pyroclastic flows, surges, and mud flows, which would have suffered maximum damage from all projectiles. The zone likely experienced more than 30 centimeters of ash. Approximately 15% of the island's population of 110,500 people occupied the red and orange zones, which covered communities such as Fancy, Rose Bank, Oya, Chautembert, and Georgetown. Quoted, the majority of the cannabis is grown in those areas. Those are the areas that are badly affected as a result of the eruption. Ganja farmers, who Cottle said make up the bulk of the evacuees from these communities, have felt the brunt of the disaster as thousands of acres of land belonging to them sit at the foot of the volcano. Cottle told the Sunday Observer that heartbroken growers are now attempting to head back into the fields there, though the all clear has not been given. La Soufrière erupted when farmers were looking to harvest their crop, killing any hope that they had of going to market, and those who managed to reap lost it all due to ash, fall, and theft. Persons who would have also gone and stolen a lot of cannabis after people were evacuated from the red zone, so the damage and loss have been very, very devastating. The damage has not only been done in the red zone, where most of the cannabis farmers are, but throughout the island. The ash fall affected plants throughout the entire island. Goes on to say, I'm unable to estimate the cost to the loss right now, but what can I can tell you is that thousands of pounds have been lost. As a result, there's going to be a serious shortage of cannabis in St. Vincent for a while, though insisting that we are very resilient people. He explained that while the industry was largely been an unregulated and illicit one, there is an ongoing cannabis cultivation amnesty program that serves to legitimize cultivars of illegal cannabis so as to incorporate them into the legal industry. He said the bulk of the product is exported to other Caribbean islands, with Barbados being the main market. That amnesty allows you to grow your cannabis as you usually do and sell it to a licensed purchaser. We do export thousands of pounds mainly to the region, but that exportation is usually done illegally. However, most of the growers are in a period of transition from illicit to licit. Quoted, so while most have an export, there is how most traditional ganja farmers survive through illegal cultivation and exportation of cannabis, like in Jamaica. Cuddle told the Sunday Observer, arguing that cannabis has played an important role in the development of the country's economy. But there are concerns among growers now who believe that they will not be given the level of assistance required to get the industry back on its feet, or the assistance given to farmers of other industries. We are hoping that the authorities will give some attention to traditional growers in the same way that attention is given to other agricultural farmers. We are concerned that we may not be given equal attention other farmers are given in the recovery period. And this is because of the stigmatization attached to the crop itself, he said, Cuddle said, adding that the group has reached out to the government for support in backing the industry. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Oh, is this good coffee? Next, from jpost.com, health science, Panaxia becomes first in Europe to be approved to export cannabis solution. Written by Idan Zonshine, June 19th, Israeli medical cannabis giant Panaxia announced in a press release on Wednesday that they have become the first company to receive regulatory approval to market an inhalable cannabis solution in Europe. Germany, more specifically, along with their strategic partner, the German pharmaceutical company Neuraxpharm. According to an analysis of market trends in 2018 to 2019, inhalable cannabis solutions for vaporizers are the most common medical solutions products sold in the United States, representing over 50% of the market. Furthermore, inhalation of medical cannabis through a vaporizer is often regarded as a healthier form of consumption when compared to smoking due to the reduced damage caused to the mouth, throat, and lungs. The approval allows Neuraxpharm to import Panaxia's products, distribute them to pharmacies, and market them to physicians authorized to issue prescriptions for medical cannabis products to patients for a wide range of medical conditions such as chronic pain, spasticity, anorexia, depression, and more. In addition to the strategic collaboration with Neuraxpharm, applications will later be submitted for the registration and marketing of other advanced products developed by, of course, Panaxia, including cannabis capsules. Panaxia is the only company in Israel with the EU GMP approval from the European Health Authority, which allows the export of all types of medical cannabis products to most European countries. They have so far used their special approval status to set up export agreements in Germany, France, Cyprus, and Australia, leading the company to grow larger in a time when many other companies have struggled. The company says that at the moment, the Israeli Health Ministry still does not allow cannabis products to be exported. Therefore, as long as this position does not change in the coming months, the company will have to manufacture the products outside of Israel and export them to Germany from another country. The company is currently exploring options for exporting products through the controlling owner's plant in alternatively from other countries in order to prepare for the launch and first sales in Germany of these products during the second half of 2021. In parallel with applying for an export permit from the Health Ministry, Dr. Dadi Segal, founder and CEO of Panaxia, said in a statement, "We are excited to be the first and only company in Europe to receive a marketing permit for inhaled medical cannabis extracts. This is an unprecedented commercial and regulatory achievement and a significant line for patients in Germany who will, for the first time, be able to consume a clean product without harmful byproducts and combustion products associated with smoking medical cannabis flowers, especially when combined with tobacco. We look forward to making our quality inhalable extract accessible to patients in other European countries as well, and are working to register them in the appropriate regulatory pathways. Okay. Smoke News Radio, your host. Jeez and brats, getting some nice Costa Rican coffee here. Keep wee hours up as it's 11 o'clock here. Okay, from hemptoday.net, the Isle of Man sets rules for export-only medical cannabis sector. CBD and medical marijuana can now be produced for export from the Isle of Man after rules were set by the government. Producer candidates can now apply for a license from the Gambling Supervision Commission, which is regulating the sector. Illegal under the Misuse of Drugs Act of 1976, but clause in the act allows licenses to be granted for the cultivation, harvesting, and processing of cannabis plants, therefore allowing establishment of an export-only strategy. Proponents on the aisle have recognized an opportunity to provide the right regulatory framework for businesses to establish on-island production and address markets within the EU as they develop and mature. Earlier reports on medical cannabis indicated Isle of Man could become a leading jurisdiction in licensing cannabis products. A consultation released late last year by the government's department prize laid out a framework for hemp and marijuana, including plans for developing, extracting, and other infrastructure, establishing an export scheme. The new regulatory framework and guidance will offer stringent and flexible licensing of a broad range of cannabis products, which ranges from outdoor-grown industrial hemp to indoor-grown medicinal products, said Enterprise Minister Lawrence Skelly, who said the rules represented significant opportunity for economic development. The Department for Enterprise has said Isle of Man could replicate its track record of licensing success, notably e-gaming sector, and by building on its well-regarded ship registry and aircraft registry regimes. The Isle, a British dependency, benefits from being self-governing and not bound by European Union laws and regulations. It gives the Isle of Man the opportunity to customize goods according to guidelines in different markets where different cannabis and consumer rules may apply. The cannabis industry on Isle of Man has the potential to create 250 jobs by 2025 generate up to 11.5 million euro in wages, bring in potential tax income of 3 million per year to the government. Department for Enterprise has estimated. The government said despite the restrictive misuse of Drugs Act options for importing medical cannabis products, including pharmacists being able to fill private prescriptions issued by UK clinics, are currently being explored by the health department. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Next, we have from farmweekly.com.au, export demand is up for medical cannabis. Written by Shannon Beattie. We are currently in a position where all flower products we produce are sold into Australia and overseas market, and we have customers looking for more. Southwest-based Little Green Pharma has confirmed its position as a significant exporter of medical cannabis products to Europe after receiving another large purchase order for 2021. The LGP announced last week that it has received an additional firm purchase of 21,000 units of the company's high THC medical cannabis flower medicine, valued at over $2.5 million. Managing Director Fleda Solomon said the order meant a lot, and just the value of sales it represented, as it was tangible evidence of the success of their strategy. Next on Smoke News Radio, from nomenpost.com, P-H-N-O-M-P-E-N-H-P-O-S-T.com, business, Japan firm may grow marijuana, written by Lou Virick, June 15, 2021. Japanese-owned Yamato Green Company Limited expressed interest in commercial marijuana cultivation in Cambodia to export cannabis products to the United States and Japanese pharmaceutical industries. The notion was explored at an informal meeting between the Minister of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries, Veng Sakhon, and Yamato Green CEO, Katsushito Nabeshima, on June 14th at the ministry. Yamato Green highlighted the untapped potential of medical marijuana seeds, pointing out that many other companies are also interested in cultivating cannabis sativa, importing the seeds from the United States, and bringing products to the United States and Japan, according to the minister. Sakon is quoted, "We will take things into consideration first. We've requested the company to work with the relevant ministries, especially the agricultural ministry, to test the plant on a proper designated area in a station or agricultural research center as significant evidence before submitting a proposal to the royal government for approval." Tong Chan Thiang, the Cambodian Center for Study and Development in Agriculture, told the Post that the Cambodian law does not allow the cultivation of cannabis sativa. Quote, I wonder if the government were to consider this project, how it would stand against Cambodian law. I think that it wouldn't much benefit to the people or society since the plants are prohibited. If our people consume it unlawfully outside of use in the health sector, it'd create social issues, he claimed. On March 8th, Toronto-listed Asia Green Biotechnology Corp and Prep Leap National Institute of Agriculture in Phnom Penh signed a memorandum of understanding to advance production techniques of medicinal and commercial crops. Quoted, the purpose of this agreement is to allow the Asia Green Biotechnology Corp and Prep Leap to collaborate in the pursuit and execution of a business development plan tied to the evaluation and implementation of seed and plant production techniques relating to hemp and other plants with medicinal, practical, or other benefits. And goes on to say, continues to successfully implement its business plan in Southeast Asia with the execution of the MOU, and Prep Leap will play a leading role in the research and development of industrial and other varieties of hemp using Cambodian heritage varieties and varieties provided by the AGP, Asian Green Biotechnology Company, and its partners in order to obtain suitable varieties that can be utilized for biofuel, fiber, food, foundation, and medical purposes. The partners intend to study cultivation systems and techniques or production and industrial use of hemp in Cambodia and aim of applying the knowledge gained directly to current agricultural practices employed in the country. Growing marijuana in Cambodia may be illegal and punishable by law, according to Yamato Green. Thailand and South Korea now allow the cultivation and processing of marijuana for export to the United States and Japan under technical and scientific contractual terms. In 2018, Thailand became the first country in Southeast Asia to legalize marijuana cultivation, specifically to serve the health and cosmetics food sectors, but its recreational use remains forbidden, according to Bloomberg News. Yamato Green will start its activities step by step after signing an MOU with the ministry in July. The MOU in question is on the cooperation, investment and development of the kingdom's safe vegetable subsector for domestic market and export, and came as part of the government's ambition to boost vegetable exports and take advantage of the EU market, which issued Vietnam and Thailand red cards temporarily blocking their exports to the bloc. Okay, Smoke News Radio. Mm. your host, Jason Bratsky. We've got AfricaNews.com. Morocco joins growing list of African countries to legalize cannabis. As more multinational companies are setting up cannabis farms across the world, more attention has been diverted to Africa. Morocco is one of the world's largest producers of cannabis and suppliers of illegal byproducts like hashish. The North African country adopted Wednesday the law authorizing the therapeutic use of cannabis, a major reform for this North African country, considered as one of the first producers of hashish in the world. The legal use means it can only be used in medicine, cosmetic, and even for end purposes. The law was adopted by the House of Representatives with 119 votes in support and 48 against. Recreational use remains prohibited and subject to prosecution. Last year, Rwanda permitted the production and processing of medical marijuana with an aim to maximize its profits. The Rwanda government retired that its production, reiterated its production and use will only be limited to licensed dealers like pharmacies, and that cannabis consumption remains illegal. In South Africa, the government is still pursuing plans to ensure that the South African country can maximize on the plant by turning marijuana into a viable business. Africa is planning to sign the Cannabis for Private Purpose Bill into law within the 2022 to 2023 financial year. This came after a landmark ruling by the Constitutional Court in 2018 permitting the use, possession, and cultivation of cannabis in private dwellings was not illegal and should be allowed in South Africa. The government was given 24 months to enact this law. Uganda enacted one of the stringent laws to curb the use of cannabis, but at the same time allowed the commercialization of the product. The Ugandan government spent over $264,000 to secure quality cannabis seeds in 2019. They also secured buyers from Germany and Canada after getting approval from the European Union in 2019. Other countries that have legalized the commercial use and export of cannabis in Africa are Lesotho, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. The cannabis sativa has been proved to have over 50,000 industrial uses, including an alternative to paper, cardboard, cotton, and a medical purpose. A 2019 report by the African Regional Hemp and Cannabis indicates that Africa's contribution to the cannabis global market amounted to $37.3 billion, which represents 11% of the world's market. According to a UN Office on Drugs and Crime report, over the period from 1995 to 2005, a total of 19 out of 53 African countries reported the cultivation of cannabis on their territories. UNODC estimates global cannabis herb production was 42,000 metric tons in 2005. Africa alone accounted for 10,500 metric tons, or 25% of the total. Together, the American continent accounted for 46% of global cannabis production. North America represented 23%, for South America, another 23%. Many countries in the world have criminalized personal use of cannabis, especially among smokers, because of the risks associated with it. The drug has been linked to adverse health hazards that include lung cancer, mental illness, among other social disorders, among those who abuse the substance. Questions still remain whether countries should legalize it at the expense of individual health, but still, stakeholders are pursuing its legalization for industrial use. All right. Smoke News Radio from 9news.com.au. Queensland medical cannabis farm construction to begin August. World's largest medicinal cannabis facility in Toowoomba. Construction on a $400 million medical cannabis facility in Toowoomba is due to begin in August, creating hundreds of jobs. When it opens, the 40-hectare farm, just 250 meters from Toowoomba's WellCare International Airport, will be the largest of its kind in the world, producing 500 tons of cannabis per year and employing about 1,000 people. The crops will be grown in 3 glass houses spread over the 40 hectares, the equivalent of 74 football fields. Construction on a $400 million medical cannabis facility in Toowoomba is due to begin in August. When it opens, the 40-hectare farm, just 250 meters from Toowoomba's WellCap International Airport, will be the largest of its kind in the world. Asterton's high security facility will also house a processing plant, transforming the crop into medicine. And the CEO, Stephen Van Deventer, said, "We have to plant 20,000 a day and harvest 20,000 plants a day. With 1,000 people, good luck." With prescriptions tripling in Australia over the last year and low-dose CBD oil soon to be sold at pharmacies without prescription, demand for medicinal cannabis is set to soar. With prescriptions tripling in Australia over the last year and low-dose CBD oil soon to be sold at pharmacies without a prescription. The ripple effect of all those jobs and the needs of all those people will be tremendous, says Regional Mayor Paul Antonio. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. from Lexology.com, United States House of Representatives reintroduces the MORE Act, okay, written by Craig DeVault, May 28, 2021. The United States House of Representatives renewed its effort to decriminalize, corporatize cannabis at the federal level by reintroducing the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act of 2021. A 2020 version of the bill passed the House in December of 2020 with overwhelming support, only to fail to be considered in the then-Republican-controlled United States Senate, with Democrats now holding a slim majority in the Senate by virtue of Vice President Kamala Harris holding the tie-breaking vote, 50-chamber, there is increased speculation that the bill may be viable in 2021. The MORE Act would remove cannabis from the Controlled Substances Act, ending its long-standing federal prohibition and providing states with more authority to regulate cannabis activities. In 2020, the House passed the Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment Expungement Act of 2020, marking the first time that a chamber of Congress had ever voted on the issue of decriminalizing cannabis, while the 228-115 House vote was a win for the bill's supporters. The act and its Senate companion bill ultimately died in the Republican-controlled Senate. Now, 6 months later, three additional states already legalized adult-use cannabis. With this surge in the state's legalization efforts and the Senate's new Democratic majority, House Judiciary Chair Jerry Nadler sponsored the 2020 Act, has reintroduced the bill in the House with support of five other Democratic co-sponsors in hope that the bill can make it through the Senate this time around. Key provisions of the MORE Act, decriminalization, amends the Controlled Substance Act by striking and currently listing marijuana, cannabis, and THC as Schedule I substances. Schedule I regulates drugs by high potential for abuse. The tax provision establishes a federal 5% excise tax on the sales price of marijuana cannabis products manufactured in or imported into the United States, as well as a $1,000 occupational tax on individuals or enterprises engaged in businesses as a producer or an export warehouse proprietor. Loan programs. The MORE Act establishes a new opportunity trust fund to be financed with revenues from the taxes described above. 60% of these funds would be earmarked for a newly established community reinvestment grant program to provide job training, re-entry services, other programs to individuals caught by cannabis laws. The other 40% of these funds would be used by the various types of funding programs to help socially and economically disadvantaged people more easily participate in the cannabis industry without any education. Notably, changes from the 2020 Act, the MORE Act, remove language from the 2020 Act that would permit the denial, suspension, or revocation of cannabis business permits based on previous or current legal proceedings involving felony violations of federal or state criminal law related to cannabis or cannabis products. In addition, the MORE Act requires an annual joint study to be conducted by the Comptroller General of the United States and the Administrator of Small Business Administration, reporting on individuals and entities receiving equitable assistance under the state and federal programs required or established by the MORE Act. Amazon pays money for you to know about the MORE Act. While many U.S. companies have not taken a public stance on cannabis decriminalization, Amazon recently opened its face in support of the MORE Act. In a post, Amazon said something that we don't care about. While the push for cannabis decriminalization has been comparatively slow at the federal level, the pace of state legalization efforts steadily increased in recent years. Following the 2020 election, 17 states have now legalized adult-use recreational corporate cannabis, and 36 states that allow corporate medical cannabis. According to the MORE Corporate Act, legal corporate cannabis sales totaled $20 billion in 2019 and are expected to surpass $44.5 billion by 2025. While the ultimate outcome of the reintroduced Corporate MORE Act in 2021 remains unknown, what is clear is that the cannabis corporate industry is booming, and use of corporate medical and corporate recreational cannabis will continue to present challenges for corporate employers struggling to keep up with the rapidly evolving state of law. Corporate businesses should continue to monitor and control legislative developments, including those here in Indiana and Craigig LLP client alerts. Likewise, multi-state employers may wish to reconsider their current corporate drug screening policies to better address the ever-growing list of corporate states permitting some form of corporate cannabis use. Next on Corporate News Cannabis Radio from HempIndustryDaily.com. Customs accuses Oregon Hemp Company of international drug smuggling. Federal custom officials say an Oregon hemp company was flying marijuana, not hemp, to Switzerland last year, and that the biomass should be destroyed. the accusation from the United States Customs and Border Protection came Monday in a lawsuit from WeCBD, a hemp producer based in Sandy, Oregon. WeCBD is suing for the return of more than 3,000 pounds of hemp. Federal officials insist the company was potentially committing fraud while attempting to smuggle drugs out of the United States. Because of the shipment was made up of federally illegal marijuana, and WeCBD did not declare its product in the November flight, Law 360 first reported. In a letter asking a federal court in North Carolina to dismiss WeCBD's lawsuit, the Customs Border Patrol said most of the plants tested hot above the federal legal THC limit. The agency also filed a separate complaint asking the court to forfeit the remaining half ton of the shipment that tested within the legal THC limits as hemp. The material that tested hot was seized and destroyed in March, but the remaining hemp plants are still in the prosecutor's possession, and the company wants it back. In its lawsuit, WeCBD accuses Customs of taking the material in a cloak of secrecy and shadow, even though the carrier paperwork from Oregon authorities showing the plant material was grown legally and bound for legal export. But Customs argued that WeCBD loaded its charter jet with 93 duffel bags and garbage bags filled with cannabis plants and submitted paperwork that the plane carried only crew members and no cargo. The agency said there were WeCBD members present on the plane when federal agents examined and tested the shipment when the plane landed in Charlotte, North Carolina, en route to Switzerland, and that the agency communicated with the company about seizing the shipment and offered its hemp portion back on the condition that it would agree not to sue over the shipment seizure. Smoke News Radio. Quick list of things going on. Denver Post. Black market marijuana grows popping up faster than law enforcement can take them down. From CNBC, massive Bitcoin mine discovered in UK after police raid suspected cannabis farm. And ABC 30, more than 50,000 marijuana plants found at illegal grow near Mendota. And then KRCR, officials bust illegal cannabis grow in Potter Valley, where 16-year-old was working. Avil, Turkish mobster Pickin alleges cover-up in recent drug bust. From the King City Rustler, multiple agencies bust unlicensed cannabis cultivars in South Monterey County. From the AP News, authorities seize illegal legal marijuana grows in California from the grow op. Police bust multi-million dollar cannabis grow in Quinte West, Ontario. From the Daily Record, Glasgow cops dismantle industrial-scale cannabis farm after drug bust. And Modesto B, Mayor Stanislav Sheriff's bust takes $100 million in illegal marijuana off the street. From South China Morning Post, Hong Kong police bust largest indoor cannabis farm in a decade. From Global News, SQ police raid 16 locations as part of an online cannabis ring. From Daily Herald, prosecutors deplanes man open fire on police tied to $22 million drug bust. From WICS.com, large drug bust in Springfield. From CBC.ca, police smash couple's living room window with armored vehicle in drug raid that finds nothing. From Glasgow Live, we got that one. From Register Guard, cannabis boom creates fears in increasing illicit trade in southern Oregon. From the Chicago Tribune, police seize $22 million in marijuana in warehouse in Wooddale. Arrest a man when they say, CBC.ca, OPP sees $16 million worth of cannabis in raid in licensed St. Carithinus site. You got to love it, people. You got to love it. I really appreciate you guys listening to Smoke Rules Radio. It happened on Tuesday. This is Smoke News Radio, Jason. Let me see if we can get this. Thank you guys very much for listening. There's a lot of marijuana information happening in the world, and you just got to pay attention to what is happening around you. It may seem legal, but it's really, really not. You know, it'd be nice if it was. No. It'd be so cool if it was. Like, it's really not. People want it to be. So thank you, everybody, for listening so much, and have a beautiful, beautiful night. And I guess there's you've got to have the music ready to go. Is that the music? No, that's not the music. That's a goofy. There you go. Here's the music. All right. Okay. No. Click this button, that button. It's just, this is over so fast. Okay, here we go. 40 more seconds. Enjoy it with a little Jack Johnson. Thank you for listening. Jason Ratzke, Smoke News Radio.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's side. Well, Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullaby. That it would be alright to put the music behind the news mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear, so baby, close your ears. On the news tonight, on the news tonight, the unobtrusive tones on the news tonight, the mama said. Why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. The mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullabies.